easy. From Mud Ice Arena to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On The Game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of The Game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
It's time to play the game.
And he'd be right. Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't the safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through The Game, 7:30 a.m. Message The Game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back, 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 back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend.
Now, here's your host and professional hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's only sports station, The Game, 7:30 a.m. Glad to have you aboard on a hump day edition of the program. Let me set the table before we dive in head first. Got an opportunity for you to win one of these coupons that we did yesterday, courtesy of Quality Dairy. It's good for one free gallon of cider at any of the myriad QD locations. Everyone who participates in the show today will be entered into a random drawing we'll do at the end of the show. A couple of you walk away with one of those coupons each, okay? Here are all the ways to participate in the show, and it can be on any topic we talk about, any hot take, whatever. There's the phone line, 517-300-4263. You can always email the program, beanie@wvfnam.com. Use Facebook, send us a message or comment there. Just search Facebook for The Game 7:30 a.m. to do that. Or use the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text to us. We'll read that on air, and that'll get you into this drawing too. Okay? Cool. Well, I wanted to start today with college basketball. Because we, at long last, have a much-anticipated conclusion to the years-long investigation into Kansas basketball. Now, remember, this all started, back in 2017, 2018? The federal government was involved. There were wiretaps going on. Several programs were busted, illegally compensating recruits and players and their families at that time. It cost several coaches their jobs. I'm talking, of course, of Sean Miller at Arizona, for example. He was probably the biggest one. Adidas was involved. There were some illegal payments funneled through Adidas. More than one Adidas rep went to prison over this. But the big fish that was out there all this time is Kansas. And we had been waiting pretty much 6 years for some conclusion. Well, today we got that. And buckle up. You're not going to believe it. But Kansas has avoided serious penalties. I know that's a shocking development, but one of the blue bloods of college basketball, emerges practically unscathed and won't even get a postseason ban. I'll read you a little bit from the Yahoo Sports story. Kansas men's basketball escaped serious penalty from the NCAA from a multiple-year investigation into the program's involvement in the college basketball federal corruption scandal. The NCAA's Independent Accountability Review process announced Wednesday that Kansas's five Level 1 allegations had been downgraded officially to a Level 2 case. I'll repeat. Kansas's five Level 1 allegations had been downgraded to a Level 2 case.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
The program receives a three-year probation through October 10th, 2026. The decision comes after Kansas self-imposed penalties at the start of the 22-23 season following its 2022 NCAA championship. Kansas coach Bill Self and assistant coach Curtis Townsend served four-game suspensions, while the school also imposed recruiting limitations. The level one charge against each coach is now reduced to a level three allegation. The light punishment is a whimper of a conclusion to what had been a contentious back and forth between Kansas and the NCAA. After the school was implicated in the 2017 FBI investigation into the way payments were allegedly being made to players to attend certain schools, the NCAA sent a notice of allegation to Kansas in 2019 that alleged three level one violations, a lack of institutional control charge, and a head coach responsibility charge against Bill Self. The notice of allegation centered around the recruitments of Billy Preston and Silvio D'Souza. According to testimony from the corruption trial, an Adidas consultant directed nearly $100,000 to Preston's mother, while another payment was made to D'Souza's guardian. Adidas is the apparel manufacturer for Kansas, and text messages between Self and TJ Gasnola, the Adidas consultant, showed the two discussed recruiting. So here's more on Kansas's quote-unquote punishment here. Kansas is forced to vacate any wins it had while D'Souza played during the 2017-18 season. The Jayhawks went 31-8 that year and advanced to the Final Four before losing to eventual national champion Villanova. D'Souza played in every NCAA tournament game and 20 games overall during that season. The Jayhawks were 15-5 in the games he played and can no longer officially list themselves as Final Four participants that season. And since those games are officially being vacated, Bill Self's official NCAA career win total must have those games vacated. The three Level 1 allegations initially levied against Kansas signaled that the NCAA was looking to level significant penalties against the school. After the FBI's investigation, Kansas had contended that it was simply a victim of the scandal and published a lengthy response to the NCAA in 2020 that disputed the NCAA's assertions.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
The length of time it took for a resolution to the case ultimately worked in Kansas's favor. The NCAA has trended toward smaller penalties against schools involved in the corruption scandal in recent years, especially as players are now allowed to make money off their name, image, and likeness. All right, so you get it. There's the nuts and bolts there. I wanted to end with that point, though, because Yahoo Sports hit the nail on the head here. The length of time it took for a resolution to this case ultimately worked in Kansas's favor. Translation. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. We've said it before, and this is probably the best example yet. But you tell me, there are rules out there. There are NCAA rules and ordinance on this sort of thing. And even in a day and age of NIL, there still are supposed to be rules. Now you tell me how Kansas can be under investigation for 6 years. And the FBI was involved, had them dead to rights. Tell me how that can all happen, and then they still get off practically unscathed, and you tell me with a straight face that I should follow the rules. What incentive is there to play by the rules? I don't see any. In fact, I see every incentive to break the rules. The only incentive I see to follow these rules is if you're someone misguidedly obsessed with honor. As if that matters anymore. I've spent a lot of time on these airwaves over the years bitching about Izzo invoking character and integrity. And this is the latest example of why I don't understand why he spends so much time on that. I get it. He has his own personal standards, and that's great. And I've said it before, Tom Izzo is the last of an extremely endangered species. He cares about that kind of stuff. He cares about character and morals, and he's actually interested in developing his players and setting them up for success in life, not just winning basketball games. Okay, that's fine. That's admirable. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. But has he taken a look around? I mean, it's bizarre, man. Tom Izzo is in the middle of a wasteland pretending there's still some sort of government. Tom Izzo is in the middle of a lawless, anarchic, post-apocalyptic society, and he's out there still following the rules. It makes no sense. It frustrates the hell out of me. It's definitely cost Michigan State in recruiting. And they've been close a couple of times on the basketball court. Imagine where that would be if they had better players. What I'm saying is, I think, you know, Tom Izzo's integrity has cost Michigan State a crystal basketball, or maybe more than one, over the years. But I get that he's willing to draw that line in the sand. He's committed to principles. Fine. Okay. But I'm just asking the question, what incentive is there to do any of that anymore? He can sleep better at night? Great. But I have a feeling that, you know, if he never gets the second ring, that's going to keep him up at night more than his commitment to integrity and morals and any deviation from them. But this isn't really a Tom Izzo thing. I was just trying to localize it for you. In general, I don't see how, why do we have rules anymore? Why is there an NCAA? What's the point? There's no incentive to play by the rules. There's every incentive to cheat, to break the rules. The rules, I don't even know why we have them. They don't even serve like an appearance purpose anymore. This is all blatantly out there now. I just don't get it. What's the point of any of this? It's madness. Madness. They had coaches on wiretaps discussing illegal payment to recruits and players. And look what happened. I mean, if that doesn't result in some serious change, then nothing will. And again, maybe it just doesn't matter because we've moved on from that. We're openly paying players now through NIL. I don't know, man. We've always known college, you know, college sports has a very seedy underside, but I don't think it's the underside anymore. I think it's out in the open. This is just the latest evidence. Well, what do you know? You know, we sat here for 6 years wondering what would happen in Kansas, but we knew all along, didn't we? Didn't we know this was going to happen? Did anyone honestly doubt for a second that Kansas was going to get off scot-free? Hell, they didn't even have to give up or vacate the title they won. And let's be real, vacation of wins and banners and championships is the ultimate toothless punishment. What a coward's way out. It means nothing. Oh, you can't have that banner because that technically didn't happen. Okay, well, we still benefited from it financially, in recruiting, in the terms of legacy of our program. But sure, we'll take this aerial piece of carpet down, and that's a real, real punishment. We really learned our lesson. How stupid. It's also stupid. And just a slap in the face to anyone paying attention. It's an insult to your intelligence as a consumer of this thing. I mean, I won't pretend. I knew this was going to happen. I think all of you did too. But it's still just so dejecting Disgusting, fine. Dejecting, yes. Whatever. You can come up with a better word, than probably even a superlative that would work there. Just disgusting. But there is a silver lining. Now, I'm trying to figure this out on my own. But if Kansas does have to, you know, the harshest part of the penalty here was they have to vacate some wins from when that D'Souza guy played. They have to vacate every win they had that he played in, which included that entire NCAA tournament in the 17-18 season. Okay, well, I'm just connecting dots here. Doesn't that mean then that Kansas loses the streak? Because at that point, if that was 17-18, so five seasons ago, at that point, Kansas had made its 28th consecutive NCAA tournament appearance. And now that streak after last year stands at 33rd. But if they have to vacate all those NCAA tournament wins and all the wins that guy played in the regular season, doesn't that mean they didn't make the NCAA tournament? Doesn't that mean then that Kansas's NCAA tournament streak currently stands at 5 in a row? And doesn't that mean whoever was second now has the longest active NCAA tournament streak? Isn't that what that means? Translation. I think you can see what I'm getting at here. This isn't complicated, is it? If they have to vacate all of those wins, well, not just wins, all of the games, period, that kid played in, which includes the entire NCAA tournament. Again, you know, I'm just connecting dots here, just doing the math out loud. You tell me, I could be crazy here, and you can call me that, but doesn't that mean that we have a new reigning champion when it comes to the all-time tournament streak in college basketball? Doesn't that mean that whoever was second is now in first place, because Kansas would have to vacate that title, that whole run there? Well, guess who is in second place? That's right. Celebrate, everybody. Playing by the rules pays off. Michigan State basketball now has the longest active NCAA tournament appearance streak. How about it? At a quarter century. Thanks to Kansas's cheating, they've finally been put in their place. They've learned their lesson. And man, has justice been meted out or what? Kansas loses its spot atop the perch of consecutive NCAA tournaments, toppling the Jayhawks from the very top. Michigan State now, all alone, the longest active NCAA tournament streak in college basketball at 25 consecutive. Let's just drink it in. Wow, what a wonderful reward for having scruples and not being complete scumbags. This is what they meant in school all those years. They told you, you gotta have integrity and follow the rules. In high school, one of my computer class teachers always said, if you cheat in here, you cheat in life, and cheaters never win. Cheaters never prosper. Damn it, he was right. I should call him up. If you're listening, Mr. Mead, if only I had known how right you were. If I could have gone back 20 years and told myself, Beanie, don't cheat, because eventually you'll be paid off for doing things the right way. You will be rewarded by the karmic forces of the universe. And instead of having, oh, I don't know, multiple crystal basketballs and a ton of top flight blue chip recruits and NBA talent every year, you could say instead, we played by the rules and we've made the most NCAA tournaments in a row. I say that is well worth doing things by the book. Let's celebrate. Yeah, no. What point is there to any of this anymore? I don't know. That's the news today. I wanted to lead with that because, let's be real, basketball is all we have left anymore. And we got to take our victories where we can get them around here. So I guess the fact that Michigan State now has the longest active NCAA tournament streak might be worth something to some of you. Okay. But for everyone out there who, you know, says the good guys always win, do they though? Do they? Because, man, it was almost a quarter century ago that this program last won it all. And yes, the coach is an all-time great, and there have been some great players, and there have been some fun seasons and some deep tournament runs. We know we've got a ton of Final Fours here. Yeah, that's all true. But while the coach has been busy being the only big-time coach in this entire sport, apparently, following the rules, he's been falling behind because everyone else is cheating out in the open. I don't know. Like, how do you sell that? How do you sell following the rules? Especially in big-time college basketball. I mean, don't get it twisted. Big-time college football is incredibly dirty and filthy, too. It just seems like in college basketball, it's been a little more apparent, a little more out in the open. And certainly, the lid has been blown completely off the top now. And nobody cares. Remember when Kansas won that NCAA tournament a couple of years ago? And the NCAA president walks out there and hands Bill Self that trophy as the confetti rains down and all the Kansas players who have been paid by Adidas to be there are celebrating. Remember that? I mean, that was the moment right there. That was it. That was the death of integrity, or that was the last breath of the withering corpse of integrity in college sports. We watched it happen. We watched it pass into the ether. It unfolded right between our eyes. For those of you who are professional wrestling fans, back in, I forget what year it was, Town Square Media National Production Director Steve Jared Goff would know better than me, but it was WCW wrestling in the late 90s, and they did this story where, like, the bad guys, Hulk Hogan, was wrestling against the good guy, Diamond Dallas Page. And they both had celebrity partners, right? I think Hogan's was Dennis Rodman, another villain. And DDP's was Jay Leno. Jay Leno. Well, anyway, there's a legendary wrestler. He just passed away. His name was Terry Funk. And he said the night that Jay Leno pinned Hulk Hogan to win was the night. That was the moment the entire wrestling business died. Because how pathetic and stupid and overtly insulting to anyone's intelligence that was. The college sports equivalent of that was the NCAA president trotting out on that court a couple of years ago to hand Bill Self in Kansas the national championship trophy while they were in the middle of an investigation where they were caught by federal authorities illegally. I'm not just talking about against the NCAA rules, but also against the law. They were illegally funneling payments to recruits and their families through Adidas. People went to prison for this. No one on the college basketball side, of course. But all that is going on. It's the elephant in the living room. And Kansas gets to celebrate a national championship. That was the moment that whatever was left of principles, scruples, whatever you want to call them, character, whatever was left of that in college sports, which I'm convinced there wasn't much, it finally expired in that moment. It was over. The news today that Kansas gets off basically scot-free is not a surprise. This thing died a couple years ago. But I just wanted to start with that today. And I know a lot of you listening have been clamoring for some, you know, some justice on this for Kansas. Did you really think you were going to get it? I mean, guys, about 10 years ago, there were multiple former Tar Heels who came out and alleged that North Carolina set up and created a shadow curriculum that was total BS just to keep basketball players eligible. And that wasn't an allegation. That was players who went through it, came out and called UNC out for that. There was an investigation. The NCAA's investigation determined there was merit to those claims, but nothing happened because, and I'm not making this up, the NCAA determined it didn't have the authority to punish North Carolina for that. Literally stuff so dumb, you would think it was written by the same people who came up with the idea to have Jay Leno pen Hulk Hogan in WCW 30 years ago. What just a bald-faced, unapologetic, shameless scam. Absolute racket. But we keep watching, and it's never been more profitable. Because damn it, is the tournament fun. Anyway, we can lead with that. You got hot takes on that? You want to weigh in on that? Be my guest, literally. Here are all the ways. Phone line, 517-300-4263. You can always email the program. The email address here is beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu to send over a free text to us. We'll read it on air. Same goes for Facebook, where you can message us or post a comment. Just search Facebook for the Game 730 AM to do that. All right? Table is set. The rest is up to you. There is other stuff I want to get to today. I got a ton of sound that I want to play you from Big Ten Basketball Media Day yesterday from Minneapolis. A lot of Tom Izzo stuff I think you'll appreciate hearing. I got some good sound from A.J. Hogard, I think is kind of exciting. We all know A.J. has a bit of that Spartan dog in him. This sound makes that even more apparent. I'll get you to that. We'll talk a little bit about hoops, too, because they did the preseason poll, and Purdue is picked number one, State's picked number two. Because, you know, Frankenstein is back, Zach Edey, fresh off of a first-round loss as a one seed to 16th-seeded Fairleigh Dickinson. Now, remember the last time that happened, didn't Virginia bounce back after their, they were the first ever one seed to lose to a 16 seed, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. The very next year, Virginia bounced back and won the national championship. Hey, just saying. Nah, something tells me Purdue won't win the national championship this year. What could that be? What am I leaning on to make that determination that Purdue won't win the national title in basketball? I don't know. Maybe it's because they're a basketball school who hasn't been to a Final Four since the Carter administration. That might have something to do with it. How can you be a basketball school and the greatest coach in the history of your basketball program never went to the Final Four? Purdue basketball is right up there with like the Michigan football fans that mythologize Bo, who never won a national title. Stuff is crazy. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game, 7:30 a.m. Berg.
It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker, 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. A tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and Offensive Minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC.
Doubting Industries, Chupan & Sons Recycling Industrial Services, Gravity Smokehouse, and Chandler. Top shelf.
This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
Doubting Industries presentation of high school football rolls on in week number 8. We got the matchup for the CAAC White Championship this week. Undefeated 7-0 Portland at undefeated 7-0 Sexton. Pre-game coverage begins an hour earlier than normal, 5 p.m. this Friday, with game coverage from Ed Majeski Stadium just before 6 o'clock. It's the CAAC White Championship between Portland and Sexton, here on your trusted source for high school sports coverage. The Game, 7:30 a.m. WVFN. Brought to you by Doubting Industries and the Lansing Sports Commission.
For top-notch auto service that won't keep you waiting, look no further than Driven Auto Center on Michigan Avenue in Lansing. At Driven Auto Center, they're all about speed and quality, with same-day or following-day service on most auto services, including alignments, brakes, or even used car inspections. Their experienced technicians are here to get you back on the road in no time. Drive with confidence. Choose Driven Auto Center today. Visit them at Driven Auto Center on Michigan Avenue in Lansing or online at drivenservice.com.
Kelley Blue Book is the one-stop shop for pricing, fixing, selling, and instant cash offering. Instant cash offer is exactly what it sounds like. An official offer to buy or trade your car. Woo-hoo! Just enter your VIN or license plate. Answer a few questions about your car's history. and what kind of condition it's in. In minutes, you'll receive an offer to sell or trade your car that you can be sure is fair. Then choose a dealer to purchase your car and schedule a time to meet. For all of the it's, KBB.com.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to oxfords or t-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Back to the best in sports talk now. On the only station serving Lansing with the best sports talk for 30 years. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Oh, yeah, drink it in. Little KU fight song. Let's celebrate, embrace the cheating lifestyle and culture. Because you know what? Again, finally came down today. That's the news we led the show with. After 6 years of investigation, including a federal corruption investigation, Kansas basketball gets a slap on the wrist for using Adidas to funnel thousands of dollars to recruits and their families. Kansas doesn't even have to vacate the national championship they won two seasons ago. Just a handful of wins. Wow. What a good message that sends. You know, the NCAA likes to talk about how this is about more than just sports and winning. This is about teaching lifelong lessons and setting examples. Well, I've always called BS on that, but let me ask you, I'll play along today. Let me ask you, what kind of message does that send to the multiple myriad children who grow up watching college basketball? What message does it send to them? That perhaps the dirtiest coach in this game right now, and that's an accomplishment, let me tell you, just got off scot-free for funneling $1,000-plus payments to recruits and their families to get the best players to come play for him. Doesn't even have to pull down the banner from the championship that basically just happened. What kind of message does that send? We're so concerned about morals and character around here, right? At least that's what I've been told for the last 10 days when I've said, you know what? If there is some smoke to this Urban Meyer thing, go hire him. I've been told by half of you, you can't do that because of character concerns. Well, then let me ask you, how can you stomach college basketball anymore? When the biggest dirtbag cheat out there has gotten off scot-free time and time again. And today, we all knew was coming as a mere formality, but there it is. Kansas escapes any serious penalty. The biggest knock they take today is they have to vacate some wins from a year that ended in a Final Four, not a title. But again, for those of you who are paying attention locally and care about this, and there's a good chunk of you on Twitter who were waiting for this, it did happen. Kansas has to vacate that NCAA tournament appearance from 5 years ago, meaning their 33-year streak has been reduced now down to five. That means Michigan State has the longest active NCAA tournament streak at 25 in a row, and some of you are actually celebrating that. And if you are, wow. Well, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to give you a hell of a deal on because you are gullible. You have fallen for the ultimate bait and switch. If you're out there seriously celebrating that State now owns the longest active NCAA tournament streak, you are missing the forest for the trees, man. Because the real lesson here, and Dr. J, you tell me if I'm wrong. You're supposed to be the more level-headed one. Tell me if I'm supposed to take this any other way. And I'm not being hyperbolic, but the news today seems to indicate to me that the old adage is true. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I mean, yeah, it seems like that's how you win nowadays. So why wouldn't we jump on that bandwagon?
Yeah, I don't see an incentive to not cheat. I only see incentives to cheat because you ain't going to get penalized for it. And if you don't do it, you're behind the eight ball. Anyway, that's out there for you. If you want to weigh in on that, you can be my guest, literally. 517-300-4263. Email us, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use the free Game 730 AM app. Just click chat in the main menu. It sends over a free text to us. If you don't have the app, search the Apple App Store or Google Play for the game, 7:30 a.m. You'll find it there. It's free and takes like 10 seconds max to download. You can also use Facebook. Search Facebook for the game, 7:30 a.m. Send us a, send us a message or post a comment there, okay? And we'll read it on air. And yeah, everyone who participates in the show today will be put into a random drawing we'll conduct at the end of today's program. And a couple of you will get a coupon from Quality Dairy, good for one free gallon of cider. All right, cool. That's out there for you. Let's see, do I have any comments on this digitally? I do, but I can't get to them right now. Anyway, we'll put a pin in that for now because I wanted to pivot to the Lions real quick. Because, and I'm not caught up on this, Dr. J, so if you are, please hop in. But apparently, someone in the Detroit media yesterday floated the idea of waving the white flag on Jameson Williams and trading him now for whatever you can get.
I saw that. I don't know who did it. I've seen rumors that they're going to be trading him, which...
Wait. No. So there's reporting that the Lions are shopping him. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put any stock in it because it's not from like reputable sources or anything, but I've seen a couple of people saying that they're going to trade him.
Hmm. Okay, here's something. All right. I see the Lions Fan Nation affiliate is talking about potentially doing it. Look.
Yeah. No, I just think it's stupid, though. Give him some time first to see if he develops into anything.
Well, that's just it. This fan base, you know, he came back and didn't do anything but two catches for 2 yards, including a bad drop over the middle wide open. So the fan base has decided based on that his goose is cooked. It's over.
Well, look at Christian Watson for Green Bay, though. He had a bad drop his first outing, too, and he's been really okay for the Packers, right?
Well, the difference is he wasn't sold as some sort of messianic wide receiver. But that's what Jameson Williams has been billed as by the media. Like, he's supposed to be this lethal, game-breaking, field-tilting receiver who can take the top off of the defense and add an element and dimension to Detroit's offense that isn't there right now. But listen, it's not that simple. The average fan, it seems in this case, this isn't the average fan. This is the extremely dumb fan that seems to think that the fastest guy on the field should always be open. Well, there's a little bit more to playing receiver than just being faster than everyone else. If that's all it took, Usain Bolt wouldn't have been an Olympic runner. He would have been a wide receiver in the NFL and made a ton of money because no one would be able to catch him. But it's a little more complicated than that. Running routes is an art. It's an art form. You know, just being fast doesn't get you open. There's science to the routes, to the route trees, to the scheme. You know, it's not just on one guy. It's a little more complicated than that. It really is. Route running is truly an art form. That's why we made fun of it. But a few years ago, Devontae Adams sent video of his footwork, something he was working on his routes and getting off the line, to Chad Ochocinco-Johnson. And Ochocinco posted his live reaction to it on Twitter, and he was crying. It's one of my all-time favorite things. He's like, "Hey, y'all, I'm crying right now because Devontae Adams just sent me a video of his footwork. It's so beautiful." And he was being serious. He was crying over how beautiful it was. This wasn't a bit. But I'm making fun of that, but also using it as a point. Yes, this is an art form. The fastest guy isn't the best wide receiver. It's not how it works. But fans seem to think that. Also, like, I get it. You're disappointed. Jameson Williams hasn't done anything yet. And part of that is the Lions' fault. They traded up four and then drafted at 12th overall a guy who had 3 months before blown his ACL out. So basically, you were taking a loss on his entire first year to begin with. That's on the Lions. The Lions are responsible for one wasted year. Now, the stupid decision in the offseason, a very dumb draconian gambling rule that cost him 6 games but was commuted down to 4. Okay, you know, that's on him. I got no problem with people who have an issue with that and wonder now out loud about the guy's judgment. Fine, cool, whatever. But I don't think you need to be hitting the panic button because he had a drop and only two catches in his first game back. Because remember, not only is he rusty from not being allowed to be around the team the last 4 weeks or whatever it is, but he also had a hamstring injury that cut his camp short. Wide receiver is about timing and chemistry with your quarterback, especially in an offense like the Lions. The Lions don't just heave it up and play 500 a lot. You know, a lot of their route trees are based on timing because they're such a good running team that a lot comes off the play action. Well, that takes time to develop. And just because Jameson Williams has been there since last year doesn't mean that the timing is always there. It's not like getting on a bike. You just never forget how to do it. That's not the case. Plus, you know, even though he was just here a matter of weeks ago, the time he's been away, a lot has changed in that offense already. Offenses don't stay stagnant through an NFL season. Things are changed and added and tweaked and amended every single practice. So there is a bit of a learning curve for him, too. Look, if you're someone who's like out now and you think, nope, this guy's a bust, fine. That's your decision. If you want to think that, I think it's a little too soon. We're not even halfway through year two, which is really still year one for this guy. But you know what I want to address about it, Dr. J? One of my favorite topics. The sunk cost fallacy. Which is, if you've been to business school, I'm sure you're familiar. But basically the idea is, in a business application, like something a company has invested a lot of resources into, whether it's a new department or a new position, something like that, right? But it's clear it's not working, right? But yep. they stick with it because they don't want to give up on it based on what they've put in. Well, look, it doesn't matter. You're never getting that back anyway. That's sunk cost. The cost is sunk. You can't get it back. So to that end, I'm going to take a little different application because you might hear that and think, oh, so Beanie's saying you'll never get the value and utility back out of Jameson Williams. You might as well cut bait and run right now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, yes, the cost is sunk. You can never get that 12th overall pick back. You just can't. And that's my point. To the people saying trade him now, what are you going to get in return? You think there's an NFL team out there that's going to give you anything better than a third round pick for that guy? Because I don't. If you shop him, if you're out there putting out feelers to other teams, like, hey, we've got Jameson Williams available if anyone's interested. Well, you've already lost your bargaining position because they know you're just trying to get what you can out of him and move on. I don't see a ton of value there. So think about it this way. What has more value? The Lions getting a fifth round pick out of this guy and the crapshoot that pick would represent, or keeping him through the duration of his 4-year contract with potentially a 5th-year rookie option and giving him more time to develop into at least a useful NFL wide receiver? To me, it's obvious. Dr. J, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's any harm in keeping him because you already have him. So you're not losing anything by keeping him on the team. You might be gaining something if he develops into what you think he's going to.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And also, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see how the offense is hurting right now. It's not like his lack of development is holding them back. Because let's call it what it is. Right now, he's probably the fourth option at receiver. Even in that game this weekend when the number one receiver didn't play, he was option number four. And when I say receiver, I'm talking about all targets because I don't know if you've noticed this, but it looks like the Lions drafted the latest stud tight end out of Iowa. The guy looks like an absolute monster. Translation, he's going to take some targets away from someone else. That's probably going to come from Jameson Williams' workload. And is that a bad thing? No, because he's a matchup nightmare. He's a problem. And that's a good thing. So, like, I just feel like the fan base is putting a ton of pressure on Jameson Williams, and yet everything within the Lions and on the field and their offense points the exact opposite. I don't think there's pressure on him because he's just not high up the list of priorities right now, especially with Sam Laporta developing. I mean, all you need to know is look at that game on Sunday. Number one receiver didn't play, didn't matter. Jameson Williams still got what? Four targets. 517-300-4263. Is this Craig on the line?
It is Craig on the line. Yeah, I was talking about Jameson. I haven't given up on him. I'm troubled by the things that I don't hear coming out, that I didn't hear coming out of camp, that I don't hear about him putting in lots of extra work or trying to catch up or trying to be that guy that everybody wants him to be, that he will become. You know, the other troubling thing is I realize last year was kind of a different thing, but he was targeted 9 times and only had 1 catch. I mean, you know, I think everybody wants him to be that guy, but it's kind of disheartening when you're, you know, that draft pick isn't one of the top 2 or even 3 guys that's catching balls for Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear, I give Campbell a lot of credit. He's really going easy on him. He's not doing anything to damage his ego. He's not saying anything negative about him directly, but indirectly, I think he's challenging him a little bit because he said, hey, you know, he has said in his press conferences, Goff trusts this guy and this guy and this guy, and he hasn't said that about J-Mo yet. And right, maybe rightly so, but again, I don't hear about J-Mo putting in the work or that, you know, he's really battling and really trying to get to where he wants to be and where we want him to be. I just don't hear that coming out of practice. Didn't hear it coming out of camp. So it's suspect.
Well, hold on, because I get what you're saying. I don't think I've seen a ton of those stories either, but I do remember just a week ago, once the rule got changed, someone wrote a story about him getting ready to come back to the team, and he had said he was working out twice a day with a personal trainer at his house, and he had his own jugs machine installed at his house to catch like over 100 passes per day. So, I mean, there is some of that in the media. I get what you're saying. There aren't stories that he's like practically living at the team facility, but also he couldn't for the duration of that suspension, which is so draconian and stupid. He couldn't even be at the facility, whatever. I don't know. I get what you're saying. It was, he's part of this is he's a victim of the Lions drafting him where they did.
And I think he's been very fortunate with the surprise talent and ability of Laporta. I mean, that's taken the heat. I mean, he should feel relieved that Laporta has done well, that Reynolds has done well. I mean, it does take the heat off of him. I mean, because if they didn't have those two guys, say Brown is who he is. I mean, he's number one, right?
But yeah.
If they didn't have those other two guys, the heat really would be on J-Mo to get his act together and, you know, not be less than a 50% ball catcher with everything, you know, when he is targeted. So, you know, speed is far from the only talent that needs to be displayed at wide receiver.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it, Craig. I just, I get it. Guys drafted 12th overall, plus the team moved up and gave up draft capital to get him, and he still hasn't really done anything on the field. I get that. I'm disappointed in that as well. But there's a difference between being disappointed and then what people are saying, you know, in the media now. I guess one guy in Detroit suggesting they trade him. I mean, that is just, that's so silly. Like, you're not going to get anything for him, anything meaningful. The cost is sunk. And then on top of that, again, I just feel like you have a better shot of success here in letting him play out his contract at least another year or two and see if he develops. Go ahead, Dr. J, you have thoughts?
Well, you know what he's been doing well is blocking, and that's what Dan Campbell kind of wanted to see from him when he played against the Panthers, right, is blocking. And he was throwing some good blocks back there.
I guarantee you that was their top priority on film for that game when it pertains to Jameson Williams, seeing if he was engaged in the running game, doing his blocking assignment with high effort. And guess what? He was. He actually threw a block that sprung Montgomery on that big run. So that's really a good sign, because it's real easy when you're a receiver. You know how they are. When they aren't getting the ball, they're not happy. But he wasn't getting the ball, and he was blocking in the run game effectively for a guy who's not exactly known as a run-blocking receiver. So that's a good sign to me. I think, let's just put it this way. The fact that we're in, what is this, week six now? We're in week six, and we're talking about the Lions' fourth option at receiver not doing enough. Yeah, that's a luxurious position to be in. That's a good problem to have. I just don't know. What's the rush to make a categorical call on this guy's career as a Lion? What? We're a year and a half, not even in, and really, he's still a rookie based on gameplay. Why is there this rush? You want to know what I think is unfair about it? He has the same amount of game experience right now as Jahmyr Gibbs. Are Lions fans rushing to get him out of town because he hasn't been as advertised as a guy they drafted 12th overall? That's not fair. If you're looking for a guy who is drafted relatively highly and isn't showing any signs of production, you're mad at the wrong first-round pick from the wrong year. And I'm not talking about Jahmyr Gibbs either. I'm talking about Jack Campbell. Is he even on the field? I mean, that's a problem. That's a problem right there. Be more upset about that, because the Lions got more issues on defense than they do on offense. That's where they could use help more. And this guy, who was a first-round pick, has not made a difference whatsoever. It's just, I get it. It's easier to bitch about a receiver because those stats show up more. Let's just call it what it is. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m. We're back after these words.
WVFU, East Lansing, a Town Square media station. We're the station you've turned to for sports for over 30 years. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Range by
from Spartan Stadium to Ford Field. We've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On The Game, 7:30 a.m. 7:30 a.m.
There's a long history of radio superstars that have come and gone in the Lansing area sports radio, Daddy. Legendary names like Mike Peplowski, David the Mad Dog DeMarco, Brock Palmbush, and Timmy Stout. But only one man has the intelligence, the intestinal fortitude, a girthy medulla oblongata, if you will. That man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Beanie Howell, you've been to the top of the mountain. You've wined and dined with kings and queens, and you've dined in the second best production studio in the building on protein shakes and poking beans. But let there be no mistake, only one man will rise and step to the microphone to become world champion of Lansing area sports talk radio. And that man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Put your hands on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, and help me welcome him now to the airwaves.
Hard times! In hard times! You don't know what hard times are, Daddy!
Hard times will shine.
Thank you, the ghost of Dusty Rhodes, for that warm welcome. And thank you for being here, everybody. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m. Appreciate you being here. Here's what you missed so far. I led the show with the news today. Brace yourselves. It's a shock. And Kansas basketball will suffer no serious penalty for funneling money to recruits and their families through Adidas. You know, it's part in the federal basketball corruption scandal. I know, shocking. But with that in mind, I'm asking a real simple question. Is there really any reason to do anything, quote unquote, the right way, quote unquote, anymore? Is there really any incentive to play by the rules, to value integrity, to have morals or scruples or principles? And I'm not trying to do a radio bit or be hyperbolic, not trying to just be super cynical, but the way it reads to me is actually, there seems like a ton of incentive to cheat, to be as dirty as possible. You can weigh in on that. And friendly reminder, everyone who participates in the program today will be entered into a random drawing we'll do at the end of the show. A couple of you walk away with a coupon good for a free gallon of cider at any of the various quality dairy locations. Thanks to QD for making that possible. Okay? So here are all the ways to weigh in. 517-300-4263. You can email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. Send us a Facebook message or comment. Just search Facebook for The Game 730 AM to do that. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu. Send over a free text to us. While you marinate on that, I do have some sound I wanted to get to today from Big Ten Basketball Media Days yesterday in Minnesota. So a few different clips here I'm going to play. This first one is, here's Tom Izzo talking about heralded freshman Xavier Booker, the five-star kid at the centerpiece of this, maybe Tom Izzo's best recruiting class ever at Michigan State. Take a listen. Here he is talking about Xavier Booker.
Tom, John Fanta from Fox Sports. Just curious, in the time that you've spent coaching him after recruiting him, if there's any observation, takeaway, thought that comes to mind that you can share with us with Xavier Booker.
Very, very skilled and talented player is what I like. Great family is what I like. And not entitled is what I love. Okay? He knows he's got to get stronger. He knows he's got to get better. He knows he has to play harder. But he has some things that I never had. You know, a foot and arm length and a foot and a half in height. And those things are valuable. Very good athlete. He's adjusted pretty well to college. You know, the banging has been something we all knew he had to get better at. But I give a lot of credit to his mom and dad because they knew that. The day he got out of school, they wanted him up lifting and getting better. And so Xavier's been a treat to coach, to be honest with you. You know, everything, we know with freshmen, everything changes when the game starts and you don't play enough minutes and this and that. I mean, that's normal. I mean, everybody's gone through it. Kind of helped me. A couple weeks ago, I had Jason Richardson there, and as a freshman, he was a top five player. And, you know, he came off the bench and played limited minutes early and then grew into a spot that helped us win a national championship, helped him get to a Final Four the second year and the fourth, fifth player taking the draft. So, you know, this is a process, and that's what we're trying to tell Xavier, in fact, all the freshmen. But Xavier's got the longest process from a standpoint of strength and that ability, but he's got one of the highest prospects as far as skill level, and he can shoot it, he can run, and he's been fun to coach. I've been really enjoying Xavier.
Okay, so translation there is don't have a ton of expectations for Xavier Booker right out of the gate, which you shouldn't anyways, because that's not the way this program has ever worked. You know, highly touted freshmen come in here and generally struggle. Even these like one and done types, it takes a minute for them to get things down. This is a complicated system and the standards are relentless. There's a high standard here. You know, you can be shooting the lights out, just unable to miss. And if you go under one screen as opposed to over, your ass is on the bench. That's the way it is. It's indiscriminate. You know, it's applied to everyone evenly, for better or for worse. So I would say that's what I'm trying to get out in front of, Dr. J, because there's going to be a ton of expectation for basketball this year, and there should be, but there's going to be added pressure. And Tom Izzo actually talked about that. He feels pressure to deliver something good for Michigan State, given how bad football is and the complete self-destruction and implosion of Mel Tucker. He feels added pressure to deliver something positive to MSU fans this year. I hope fans don't expect Xavier Booker to come out looking like Magic Johnson right away, because there's a math problem here. He's 6'10", which is good. and he's only 200 pounds. That's not good. Like, he's... Wait till they play Purdue the first time and see what happens. You know, Zach Edey's like 300-plus pounds. You know, you've got to put on some mass to be able to handle that. And the Big Ten plays in a very outdated way. You know, it just is what it is. The Big Ten, it seems to be like one of the few conferences in college basketball that still values the traditional five, while actual, you know, pro basketball has gone more positionless. But I would just say, hey, it's okay to have high expectations, especially for Xavier Booker, but it's going to take time. It's always a work in progress here. Let's see. What next? What's the next cut I want to give you? Okay, here we go. This is a good one. This is, here's courtesy of Big Ten Network. This is Xavier, excuse me. This is A.J. Hogard, Tyson Walker, and Tom Izzo all at the desk with Dave Rebson. Some interesting stuff said here. Take a listen.
You know, A.J., it's interesting. When you kind of look at rosters each year, and I always kind of think about the journey of each one of the players, right, and kind of where do they come from? Are they a player who's a four-year player? Are they someone who transferred in? And kind of what have been the ups and downs? You were a guy who has really persevered, right? I mean, you have stuck around. And in a day and age where it is really easy, and I don't say this in a judgmental sort of way, but it is really easy to say, you know what, I'm going to go see maybe the grass is greener somewhere else. What has led you to stick around with this guy, with this program, and get to the point where you are now, where you're considered one of the better players in the league?
And don't say stupidity.
You know, just every day learning from the guy sitting next to me.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. We had our ups and downs, but just being able to know that he trusts me, and I trust him, and just growing together. The growing process that we've been through has been fun. It had its ups and downs. It wasn't always good, but it's definitely been fun. And this year, my senior year, is just the next step that I want to take, and, you know, just help him get back to where he wants to be and get to where I want to be. So it works hand in hand.
Tyson, what about your decision to come back?
I think my decision was pretty easy. You know, after we lost to Kansas State, I'm like, yeah, I'm coming back. I probably told the whole team, just didn't tell Coach yet.
You didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Well,
the whole team.
You're always the last to know, right? That's fitting. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to do more. I feel like I want to be remembered a little more. I feel like I haven't done enough. And I got some personal things I want to do and team goals I want to do for sure. And, you know, if everything goes as planned, you know, maybe if we win a national championship, maybe my jersey could be in the rafters, you know? Right. So.
There we go. Okay, interesting stuff there. Specifically, my big takeaway there is Tyson Walker said as soon as they lost to Kansas State in the Sweet 16, he knew he was coming back. And he said he told the whole team, but just not the coach. Interesting. Good stuff. Okay, I got another cut here. Here's Tom Izzo. This is after his statement. Then they, you know, kind of do like a roundtable sort of thing. Somebody asked him about retirement. Is he thinking about retirement? Take a listen.
Stages the last few years, and that's one reason. The second reason is I have these reunions every year for our players, and we had 68 of them back a couple weeks ago, including a bunch of our pros, and it just made me realize why I do my job. And it was so fun to hear some of them now that have kids. Some of them I'm recruiting their kids, and I've always believed you're as old as you feel when you act. I still act like a two-year-old, and I feel pretty good. So I don't know. I've had some guys say retirement's great. I've had other guys say don't ever retire. Right now I'm leaning towards the second one.
All right. I know that was hard to hear. Let me repeat the key part there. He said he has some people who have told him retirement is great, others who have said never retire. And he said, right now, I'm leaning toward the second one. Well, let's see. Let's do the math here. Izzo will be 69 in January, so this season. I don't know. Dr. J, how much longer do you think he goes?
I don't know. Maybe 5 more years?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You think he's going to coach to 74?
Yeah, something like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think he's still got the energy for it.
I don't think so. I mean,
you don't think so?
Well, I think he has the energy for it right now, but at 74 is a little bit different story, you know. I don't know.
Well,
about
exactly.
That.
That's why he would stop then.
I don't know. I don't tend to believe that. But anyway, this is Stevens' last year, right? So doesn't that, I mean, people have talked about that before. Would he line up his exit with his son's exit from the program? I doubt that. I just don't think this is Izzo's last year. And I wonder about Izzo. Like, what would he do as retired? I don't think he would know. I don't know how much time he spends at home right now. Like, how would he be able to handle that in retirement? I don't know if he could. That's not a criticism. But when you've been doing something for 40 consecutive years, what's it like when one day it just stops? I don't know. You know, it's such a grind, and it's not a job, it's a life, you know? That's why, like Bear Bryant, when he retired from Alabama, what did he live, like another month? He died pretty much as soon as he stopped doing that. That was his life. Joe Paterno, that was a little bit different, and I think he had cancer on top of it with everything going on there. But I don't know. Like, I'm torn. Like, I think maybe Izzo will be one of these coach until, you know, he's practically in the ground kind of guys. But I could also see, you know, he is a granddad now, right? His daughter had a kid, I think. So I don't know. He'll tell you, you know, he's missed a lot of stuff because of this job. He's missed a lot of family things, and all of them feel like they owe their family to make that up at some point. I don't know. I wonder. I think safe to say at least 2 or 3 more seasons, right? At least. Do you think so? Well, yeah, you think so.
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
You think he's going until 74. When I'm 74. We'll have Paul McCartney cut that. If he's still around then, good Lord.
Oh, boy.
He'll be like 94 then. Yeah. Okay, I got another cut here. What is this? Oh, this is good. This is AJ Hogarth. This is some good sound. They ask him, because he said he's coming into this season with a chip on his shoulder, and they ask him why and where the chip on the shoulder comes from. This is great. Take a listen.
Where do you get the chip on your shoulder from?
Some of you guys. Some of you guys that don't think I am what I am. I just take it with a grain of salt. I take my notes, I sit back and watch, and I just apply it every day. So everyone that's writing me off with your how you think about point guards in the country and the Big Ten, I see everything. So just taking my own notes.
How much fun is it to...
Should I be excited by that or troubled? Because basically, if you couldn't hear that well, he's asked, why do you have a chip on your shoulder? And he said, because of you guys. Some of you guys and what some of you guys write and say about me when it comes to the best point guards in the Big Ten in the country. And he says, I take it with a grain of salt. But then he follows up and says, I hear and see everything and I file it away. I keep notes. I keep receipts. So you don't take it with a grain of salt if you're keeping tabs on all of it, right? Like he's... And that's fine. I don't got a problem with it. I know a lot of coaches would and say you shouldn't be listening to the media. I'm sure Izzo isn't pleased with that. I'm sure he disagrees with that approach. He wants his guys tuning out all that stuff because he believes it's a distraction. Well, if it's motivating AJ Hogarth, that's a good thing. That guy has developed so much over the last couple of years. Like, he couldn't handle the ball, and he certainly couldn't shoot as recently as 2 seasons ago. And look at the strides he's made. Like, if he continues on that trajectory, if he's improved this pass off season like he did the last two, then he is going to be an I think he was already on the all conference, you know, level. He's going to be one of the best guards in the country. It's just, you know, occasionally he gets a little too aggressive. You know, what do they say? AJ giveth and taketh away. Like, he'll make an awesome play, and then the next possession he'll make a what the hell were you doing kind of play. I don't know. I live with it because I believe in him. He's got that dog in him, which is huge. Like, I want guys like that. AJ Hogarth, and I like the way he plays. You know, he's all about finishing, right? It's old school, the way he does it. He's not interested in hoisting up a billion three-pointers. He wants to drive to the hoop and finish it the old school way. I like that. I like him a lot. I'm excited about what this season might be for him. And excited for him and, you know, Tyson Walker and Jaden Akins to have another year together. What a backcourt. I mean, wow, what a luxury that is to have. Okay, I think that covers it for all the sound. Oh, wait. I did have some sound from last week. This is not Big Ten Media Days, but this is Tom Izzo
talking on, oh my gosh, John Rothstein. Yeah, he talks with John Rothstein on CBS Sports. I'm not even going to set it up. I just want you to hear it. He gets into a little bit of a rant, but then listen, it's about Big Ten expansion. But stay tuned. It's a 2-minute clip. I'm telling you, it's way worth the payoff. Take a listen, courtesy CBS Sports.
My thoughts are somebody crazy, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to do whatever we do. It was me that told Jim Delaney the Big Ten Network would never work. I didn't think the Big Ten tournament would work. So it shows you how dumb I am. This one takes on a new world because I just don't know how you're going to do it academically, scheduling, all those things. It takes on a whole nother part, but somehow, some way, I'm sure it'll work out. And if you want to look at it in a positive way, you're a player, you're getting exposure from L.A. to New York, you know. That's pretty good, you know, as far as that goes. So I don't know. I can't say I'm not a traditionalist that enjoys a conference when you get to play everybody twice or at least most teams. Now I think the schedule dictates the champion almost more than the team. That part I don't like as much, but the exposure, we're heading for quality teams, that's for sure. I think they're going to bring a lot to the Big Ten. Hopefully it works out. The only problem is unless, and depending on schedules, you know, one of the better teams, you know, gets the worst schedule and all of a sudden maybe someone that would get in doesn't. I don't know how that'll work. But I think in the most part, we should get more in because I think we'll strength the schedule will be better and all that. But every committee, it works a little differently, as you know. And so it's, I mean, the part that's exciting is, you know, near the back nine of my career, I get to experience some things I've never experienced. You know, we played Mick Cronin in a game where 13 up and lose in overtime, and then they go on to a Final Four. You know, I love Mick. He brings some toughness. He brings Big Ten value to the Pac-10, put it that way. Last year we played Oregon and USC. So we played three of the four teams in the last couple of years. But on a regular basis with the travel during season, it's going to be interesting, you know. And I'm going to try to do what I normally don't do, John. I'm going to try to look at the glass half full and see if there can be a lot of benefits out of this. Hey, one thing I know for sure. As I've said to our media, I'm going to get out my Speedos and my surfboard so I'm ready to go when we get to California.
Dr. J, your immediate reaction to the vision, you know, the mental picture of Tom Izzo in a Speedo on a L.A. Ugh. Beach.
That's my reaction.
Tom Izzo in a banana hammock in Southern California.
No.
Could you imagine seeing Izzo surfing?
That would be hilarious.
What a recruiting pitch.
He doesn't know how to surf.
He can surf the breaks on Lake Superior. In the tombs of her ice water mansion. Okay. And then this, there's no sound of this, which is so disappointing to me. I mean, if only the reporters that were at Big Ten Media Days knew that all these coaches were going to be there talking extensively, if only they could have set up cameras or microphones to record it. Anyway, his best lines yesterday, Izzo, weren't captured, as far as I can tell, on video or audio. But he was asked, of course, about the transfer portal and, you know, how players can basically come and go as they please with unfettered free agency of the sort. He said that unhappy players who transfer are different. It's not the same as coaches who hop from job to job. Quote, yeah, I have flexibility. I can leave. I have millions of dollars of a buyout if I leave. I've paid 40 years of dues to leave. Most coaches have put in their time. Most coaches will be doing that at 35 and 40 and 50, not at 20 when one guy tells you to leave because you're unhappy. And you know what? What's wrong with being unhappy? I'm unhappy most of my life. Unhappy drives you. Unhappy pushes you. unhappy makes people realize, you know what? I'm not good enough. I got to get better. Dr. J, should we check on Tom Izzo? Is he okay?
Imagine living your life that way. That's a horrible,
way
to think.
What's it like to be miserable all the time? I have no idea what that must feel like, to be unhappy all the time. Look, as a fellow misanthrope and someone who's chronically miserable, I know what he means. I get what he's saying. You know, unhappiness can drive you to make some changes that are positive in your life or your profession or whatever. I get that.
You're always unhappy. Hold on. But then if you're always unhappy, you're never going to be able to experience the happiness when you do find it, because you're going to have that mindset continuously. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It's going
to
drive perpetual growth, though.
At what point do you stop growing and enjoy it?
At the point that you die. And then you can be happy when you meet your God or whatever you believe in on the other side. Or
that's
sad. If you're like you, Dr. J, you never get to experience happiness because the big sleep to you is just eternal nothingness. You just cease to be.
Well, I'm happy all the time because I choose to see the happy.
Okay. I'll remember that the next time you're pissed off at me. I need to turn that into a drop on this show. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so they also asked Izzo, you know, the NCAA recently reduced the notification of transfer window in men's and women's basketball from 60 days to 45 days. That means a player now has 45 days to transfer once the window opens the day after Selection Sunday. Izzo says, quote, I'm not for what they're looking to do. I think 30 days would have been plenty. I think most kids know where they're going anyway. I think they forget we've got a job to do. Let me tell you something. This transfer portal is not going to be the best thing for the kids. You get 45 days. If you think a kid is leaving, are you going to go out and get somebody else? Because you can't wait forever. Now it's affecting the kids you've got there. He says he understands and believes there are valid reasons for players to transfer, like when their coach leaves. But he warned the future could include unintended consequences, such as lower graduation rates. And I know that he cares about that, but I don't think anyone else does. Who else cares about? Can you tell me off the top of your head, whoever your favorite team may be, what's their graduation rate? I follow Michigan State for a livelihood. Here's my response to their, what's their graduation rate? I don't know, because I don't care, and neither does anybody else. According to NCAA data, this is per ESPN, 19% of the Division I men's basketball players who entered the transfer portal last year and were on scholarship failed to obtain scholarships at new schools. Izzo said only a small percentage of players turned pro, which means most of the men's players need to graduate. Quote, let's see what the graduation rate goes to as kids are transferring all over the world. Let's look at the unintended consequences. Don't blame the kids. Blame adults. Blame us. Blame the ones at fault, not them. Tom Izzo in midseason form, bitching about the transfer portal. And we haven't even played an exhibition game yet. By the way, Midnight Madness, which now is, for the last decade or so, been rebranded as Michigan State Madness, is this Friday. And not just this Friday, it's Friday the 13th. Spooky! Anyway, that's coming up Friday, Michigan State Madness at Breslin. Should we go to that, Dr. J, for the show, for show purposes, for content? I don't know. We've got an 8:30 tailgate show the next day. I don't know if I want to be there that late. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I've never actually gone to one.
What?
Mm-mm.
You were at Michigan State for 6 years, and you never went to MUN or Michigan State / Midnight Madness once?
I did go to MUN, but it was to ice skate.
Oh,
never
my
see
God.
A hockey game.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Midnight Madness, or Michigan State Madness, as they call it now. It's Friday. I guess the doors at Breslin are opening at 8 p.m. It's free. The actual, like, programming starts at 9:30. You can park for free after 6 p.m. at Ramp 7, which that's the newish one, right, at the corner of Marigold and Harrison. Kellogg Center. And then lots 79, 63, and 62. All right. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
Bert. Sure, you could listen to static. Or you could get the free Game 730 AM mobile app in your app store today and listen longer without the interruptions from the static. Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 730 AM app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 730 AM app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident. The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Schupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Dowding Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf.
Vex Trailer Superstore sells more aluminum trailers than any other dealer in America, and the brand we trust is Legend Trailers. Vex has carried dozens of trailer brands over the years, and none of them stack up to the Legend Trailers, which are built right here in Michigan by Michigan workers. Visit us here at Vex to see the superior Legend quality firsthand, or give one of our trailer specialists a call to learn more about why Legend is far and away Michigan's number one trailer brand. If you appreciate quality, value, and longevity, then you'll appreciate Vex Trailer Superstore and Legend Trailers.
Range 517. Lansing's largest firearm store and indoor shooting range wants you to become a member today. With two membership tiers to choose from, you can decide what's best for your budget. For a limited time, get huge savings on prepayment. Lock in a three-year Range 517 weekday warrior deal for as little as $182 per year for the primary and half that for members living in the same house. That's just $91 per year for the secondary member. Hurry, this incredible deal will not last forever. Stop in soon at Range 517 on West Saginaw in Lansing to sign up.
Lowe's knows how to save pros time and money. Right now, get 15% off select gelled wind windows and patio doors. And there's more. Earn three times MVP's bonus points on select Klein tools. Visit us in-store or online for more deals you can't beat. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Offer valid 10-5 through 10-11. Selection varies by location. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any. Valid through 10-27.
Discover, this is Danny.
Hi, it's Jen Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great. But with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Are you hungry? Because everyone left after the asparagus sorbet.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Texting privacy policy in terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out.
Binges, blackouts, regret, shame, trying and failing to drink less or quit. Hi, I'm Jonathan, founder of Aura Health. I know how scary drinking too much can be because I struggled with alcohol misuse for most of my adult life. But I also know that it is possible to drink less or quit, and medication can help. Naltrexone is a safe, effective medication that makes it easier to cut back or quit drinking so you don't have to rely on willpower alone. I started Aura Health to make access to naltrexone convenient and private to help people like me regain control over alcohol.
If you're ready to stop drinking or just drink less, text STEP to 323232 to get a secure link to OR Health's private online assessment. Our licensed medical professionals will evaluate your assessment and, if medication is right for you, prescribe it online. We'll deliver your prescription right to your door. No doctor's office visits required. Text the word STEP to 323232 to get started today. That's STEP to 323232.
You could say we know a thing or two about sports.
Let's go!
We've only been doing it for 30 years. We're the game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back. Offensive Minded, wrapping it up here with you today. Just a couple minutes left. Let me read some digital comments we got. This is from the free game 7:30 a.m. app on the Kansas thing. And I'm asking you, with them basically getting off scot-free today for paying players and funneling illegal payments to players and their families through Adidas, what sense does it make? Is there any incentive to actually follow the rules anymore? Because I'm struggling to find them. That's the question I'm asking you. Here's some we got digitally. So this is, sorry, totally lost my place. Jacob writes, of course, it's a big name basketball program. Can't have them at a disadvantage. Just look at UNC basketball with the made-up classes for athletes to take. They got off with a don't do that again. Yeah, it's true. Allen writes, just another slap on the wrist for a blue blood. Yep. It's true. You know what? You know what's wild to think about? Is Jim Harbaugh is under investigation for that level one violation. And despite what the Detroit media slash Michigan fans, one and the same, will tell you, it's not about a cheeseburger. It's because he lied directly to NCAA investigators. Harbaugh's going to get a stiffer penalty for being less than cooperative with NCAA investigators and obstructing them. He's going to get a harsher penalty than the entire Kansas program, the entire Kansas basketball program, for years of funneling money illegally to players and their families. Just doesn't make sense. I don't see any incentive to play by the rules. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. Oh, yeah. So let me pick the... we'll do a drawing here for people who win the QD coupon. Good for a free gallon of cider at any of the various QD locations. Go ahead and give me a drum roll here. I'll pick two. We'll go with, let's see, the caller, I think, was Craig in Lansing. Yep, that's one. And then Jacob from the app. All right, there are your winners today. Well done, guys. Enjoy a free gallon of cider courtesy of Quality Dairy. All right, we're back tomorrow, 4 to 6. Until then, for everyone here at Offensive Minded and the game, 7:30 a.m., I'm Beanie. Be safe and be good.